With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
That intro is so much louder when you've got earphones on. Hello and welcome along to the Rangers Rabble. I'm Martin and I'm joined by Wolf, Kerr and Elaine. Hello guys, welcome along. Thanks for everybody for tuning in, short as possible. I hope everybody's well. We've got quite a bit on the agenda tonight. We're going to talk Europa League, Calvin Bassey, Connor Goldson, Scottish Cup. But we're obviously going to start with Jimmy Bell. Just before we do, please like and subscribe. I'm so warm. It's so hard to concentrate. If you want to join as a member on YouTube, you can. The join button's just down there somewhere. And thank you, everybody, for joining us. I know it's not going to be an easy hour because we're all still hurting and stuff like that. Before we get into the football side of things, Wolf, obviously today was the service of a legendary kit man, Jimmy Bell. Obviously, we've spoken about it before when we heard, firstly, about his sad passing. Before we say anything, obviously, our condolences go out to his friends, but more importantly, his family. There was many of us who met Jimmy, but we didn't really know him. Obviously, his family have to deal with that loss. We have to deal with the loss of a legend of our club. And I don't think it's too far to say, Wolf, that he's somebody who can't be replaced.
No, he certainly can't be replaced in the immediate term, because you can't replace the 30-odd years of experience that Jimmy had, you know, working for the club. I mean, since his passing, the one thing that's been uniform all across the board is everybody saying that, you know, he was a Rangers man and he made sure everybody that came to the club knew what the Rangers' traditions were. I mean, you look at the reactions after the Leipzig semi-final just a couple of days after Jimmy's passing, and all the players with the black armbands, you know, this is for you, Jimmy. And this is players that have been in the club effectively 5 minutes. You know, guys like Calvin Bassey, he's only been here a very short time. And, I mean, Jimmy was like a father to them. He gave them the right, you know, kept them on the right path, gave them the right range. Even the things, you know, you hear the stories like Stephen Smith said, you know, he went in once, took two towels. Jimmy Bell went, Richard Gough didn't take two towels. All that sort of stuff. Just little wee quips like that to keep their feet, to keep them grounded. You know, you can't replace that, you know. I mean, we need to keep Rangers men at the club. That's always been said, that you can't replace. I mean, Jimmy Bell came in when Doddy Suter retired, and Doddy Suter had been there for a long, long time. You know, we don't have somebody that's been there a long, long time. So maybe in 20 years' time, Jimmy's replacement, who I think came in last year, and I don't know the guy's name, maybe in 20 years' time, you can say, yeah, he's the new Jimmy Bell then. But right now, absolutely irreplaceable.
Yeah, yeah. There's loads of comments coming in, Kerr, like saying one of a kind. He can't be replaced. And I thought it was good that the family and friends got the private ceremony, but it was also good for the fans to be able to show their respects as he was passing Ibrox.
It was, and I've said it before, Jimmy was one of a kind. He was a character. He's not going to be replaced, doesn't matter who oversees what he's done at the club. He's, at the end of the day, Jimmy was like us. He was a Rangers fan through and through, who was in a position where he became the kit man. And it was a position we all love to do, but Jimmy was that much respected by all the staff. But you see how much every player, ex-players, like Wolf said, just guys just in the door, but they all respected him, they all love him, because he had a bond with everybody, and you can't really say much about anything else about Jimmy. Just he'll be missed, and he was a character, and like I say, he was a Rangers fan. If you caught me, probably bleed red, white and blue, because that's how much a Rangers fan he was. He was one of us. End of the day, that's what he was, one of us.
Mm-hmm. And look, Paul puts it well, Elaine. I remember Stevie G wanted to change the dressing room and freshen it up, and Jimmy said, "No way, I don't know another kit man in world football who could tell a legend that's coming in to be manager of your football club. No, you're not doing that."
No, absolutely. And I just kind of echo exactly what they said. He obviously, I wasn't in the position where I ever met him. And to be honest, what I knew was probably the outer shell of what everyone sees, the sort of tough guy, the guy that maybe didn't give a lot away. And I think that two things. Firstly, the number of players, past, present, whether they've been at the club for years, been at the club for a six-month loan, you know, the kind of wide-ranging people who... And it was really heartfelt tributes. It wasn't just, oh, rest in peace. You know, it was really heartfelt stuff that came out. But also... The picture on the order of service today, I don't know if you've seen it, but it was him and his dog. And I think that's probably, well, it will have been the real Jimmy. I didn't know him, so, you know, it's difficult for me to comment on that. But that's the real person. And as much as, obviously, the club are hurting, you know, yeah, thoughts with his family, because they'll be feeling it worse than anyone at the club, certainly.
Yeah. And I hope it's of some kind of condolence to the family that the response has been from the Rangers supporters, you know, that he certainly won't be forgotten. People like, you know, Walter Smith passing away, Jimmy Bell passing away, can mean so much to people who have never met them.
Yeah, I mean, I just saw a comment in there, you know, a few minutes ago, just went past, that Walter, undoubtedly Rangers legend, but a lot of the current players would know the name, wouldn't know who he was, never met the guy. And they probably never met Walter before he passed. But they all knew Jimmy. Every player that's been through the door at Ibrox in the last 30 years has known Jimmy Bell. There will be a vast number of them would know, you know, Walter Smith and other legends that we've got. They maybe haven't even met John Gregg or, you know, whoever that are still with us, but they'll all know Jimmy. And he was a massive, massive part of the Rangers family. You're right. I couldn't tell you the name of any kit man at any other club anywhere. Right, I mean, our Jimmy was so well revered that other lot even made up a song about him. It wasn't a very nice song, but they even acknowledged that they knew who he was. That tells you the mark of the standing of the guy.
And he probably loved it.
Yeah, I'm sure he did. I'm sure he did. Aye.
Listen, I've been told the name of their kit man like four or five times now, and I still can't remember it. You know what I mean? That just goes to show. And he will be dreadfully missed, but he will certainly not be forgotten. That is for sure. So, I don't know if you remember, but we've just been involved in a European Cup final. Didn't quite go to plan. Before we'll touch on the game, the players, what went right, what went wrong. Before we do, though, Elaine and Wilf, obviously you were in the ground. There's been loads of reports that have come out that... aren't exactly very complimentary towards the Spanish authorities and the workers within the ground. Well, can you just run me through for yourself what the experience was like?
Yeah, well, I mean, for me personally, it wasn't what I expected, because it was a European final. I thought it might be a bit better organised than your usual standard debate. I mean, I've been lucky. I've been to a lot of away games over the years in Europe and a lot of different places. And, you know, you expect to get held back from the stadium footprint a bit. You expect to get searched a couple of times, all that sort of stuff. And I understand why they were keeping folk back away from the main search area just to stop it getting too congested. But I believe when I was in really early, I was in about 6:30. But I believe shortly after that, they were basically keeping thousands of people kettled in a street, in a side street, which in 34 degrees of heat is never clever. But I mean, I fortunately didn't experience any of that. I was held back for about 5 minutes at the first row of stewards as you approached the stadium. Then got to the search area. I had my 19-year-old daughter with me making her away European debut, which I was delighted about. And we got to the search and we could see there was big wheelie bin standing at where the police were searching people, and basically anything in your pocket they were taking out and throwing it in the wheelie bins. This included sun cream, which we were told we'd get in with. It included phone battery packs, which we were told officially by Rangers we would get in with. It'd been agreed with UEFA. So my daughter decided, well, she's going to need a battery pack, so she hid it in her bra, and I put mine down my pants just to so I could get in with it. And I had a small one in my pocket because I was told you'd definitely get in with a right small one. Obviously, she was searched by a female steward who ripped the battery pack out of where she'd hidden it. So that obviously didn't go down too well. But you can't complain to these people because they've got batons, handcuffs, and the ability to not let you in. And the last thing you want is not to get let in. I was thoroughly searched by a male steward, so much so I think he wanted to go for dinner with me after the game. It got that intimate. But he didn't find the battery pack that he had secreted, something that he really shouldn't be touching anyway. I went out, when I got through, spoke to Ranger Steward and said, look, that was out of order. He went, look, I know that. The best thing you can do is email the club, but if we make a noise about it just now, all that's going to happen is you're not going to see the game. And I said, I understand that, but I've made my feelings known to you. So I then moved my battery pack, put it in the pocket of my shorts, walked in, scanned my ticket in, got searched again. Steward obviously found the battery pack in my pocket, hands it to the supervisor, who put it against her phone and basically said, it's not bigger than my phone, that's okay. Now, that was bigger than the one my daughter had taken off her, and three times the size of the one I had taken off me. You know, which is completely inconsistent. I don't see why you basically get strip searched going onto the stadium footprint, then when you're in the ground, they do it again. I just don't get that. That's ridiculous to me. And then you go up to your seat, there was maybe six kiosks, five of them with the shutters down, one of them open. The queue was basically the length of the concourse. Now, this is at what, 7:15. This is at least 2 hours before the game. And you couldn't get, I mean, I was lucky. I went down to see how long the queue was, and a pal of mine was at the front. So I just shouted them up and got a couple of bottles of juice, a couple of bottles of water. Because within 15 minutes, there was nothing left. So by the back of 7:00, there was nothing left. And they were actually telling people, look, take water out the toilets, drink it out the toilets. I mean, there was people just picking up bottles and were finding lying about, because they weren't handing out cups or anything like that. I mean, it was over 30 degrees. There's not a roof on the stadium. I say they're taking sun cream off people. My daughter, although she pretends that she's not, she's ginger. You know what I mean? Ginger hair and heat, like, that's not very good for you. You know what I mean? And there was people in really bad way with the heat. You couldn't get hydrated. I mean, over the years, I've done quite a lot of runs, 5Ks, 10Ks, half marathons, all that stuff. You get handed out free water at regular intervals so that you don't pass out. That's even if you're running in Scotland and it's 2 or 3 degrees. You're in Spain, there's 40,000 folk in a football stadium and no water available anywhere. It was absolutely ridiculous.
It was, and Elaine, for yourself as well, because obviously you were there. I was at the auditorium, I think it was about 4 or 5 miles away or whatever. We were given water, beer, juice, everything. So for yourself, for your own experience, it must have been just exactly what we've seen there, horrendous.
Yeah, we had headed up. We headed up quite early, and to be honest, I know that we've been given advice beforehand about what side to go in and etc. I didn't find that there was really any sort of kind of map or I couldn't quite figure it out. So we ended up actually walking up the Frankfurt side. And to be fair, what I would say was had no bother at all with Frankfurt fans all day. Mm-hmm. Actually had a really good laugh with them. I was sat, my boyfriend and his pals were in a bar. They were sitting out. There must have been a couple of hundred Rangers fans all sat in, you know, having a couple of drinks at one of the squares. And there was a table of about 6 Frankfurt fans right in the middle, right next to them, who took everything in good humour, for every Rangers song, there was a Frankfurt response. It was a great atmosphere. And we headed up. We wanted to be in good time. I kind of had the fear a wee bit about the tickets and my phone not working and everything. So we were walking up about half five. And the only time that I saw trouble in the run-up to the game, or I could kind of hear trouble, was just before 6 o'clock. The Frankfurt fans were all walking up, and it was the road that was parallel to the one we were supposed to walk up, and they started getting kettled, and it was their kind of ultra element that was, and there were a few sort of broken bottles and whatever, but absolutely nothing directed at us, nothing. We were standing outside a bar again, just kind of getting water before we went in and whatnot, and again, everyone was in great spirits. So I was already at that point, I was thinking, if this kicks off, I don't necessarily think it's anything to do with the fans. I could see that the police were being very heavy-handed, and that wasn't with Rangers fans. You know, that, as I say, I was at the wrong side. We eventually, for 6 o'clock, did get ourselves to the right side, and experience was quite similar with Wilf going in, especially Wilf's daughter. There was fairly rough, and it wasn't until afterwards I kind of thought, okay, that was fairly rough. I don't want special treatment because we're going to a European game. It's not about that. We know that European games can be fairly hostile atmospheres. It was just in terms of a logistics thing for me. I thought it was absolutely nuts. I thought the battery pack things, and you know, that was bizarre having it been cleared. Apparently it was a police decision. It was taken out of UEFA's hands. That was decided on Tuesday. If that was the case, why wasn't that then put out to the fans? Why wasn't that communicated? Because the number of posts you've seen of people who are missing, and I mean, I don't think they will be, or I hope the majority aren't actually missing, and certainly now it seems that a lot of them are turning up, but a lot of that's just due to kind of phones dying, and then invariably people getting lost, people not being able to contact their pals, people not being able to pay for an Uber, or, you know, because your phone's kind of, in this day and age, it's everything. And when we got to our seat, we got through pretty quickly because we were there so sharp. Again, one kiosk open, already a huge queue. They started moving people out of the concourse, though, because it was so busy, you couldn't have people milling around, but that was the only shade. So you had some people keeled over. You were told, no, you had to get to your seat. You're sitting out in your seat 3 hours before kickoff, no water, no sun cream. They ran out of change as well. So, you know, if you wanted one bottle of water, that's fine. But if you've got 10 euros, then, you know, it's an expensive bottle of water. But I don't think at that point anyone was really caring. And you started to see a couple of people keeling over. There was one behind the dugout where you just heard the shouts and just heard, and straight away you're thinking, and straight away I was thinking, God, I hope this isn't serious. The person eventually gets wheeled out in a stretcher. And yeah, it's not what you expect. And I think for me, if you're planning something like that, the thing for me is that's the closest that I would have come to there being trouble as well. And I could understand people kicking off. And the thing that really gets me is having been in really sharp and knowing there was only one kiosk open, the statement today saying that they had to shut kiosks because of fan aggression is just a total fabricate. It's not true. I was in. I saw them kind of, you know, that there were no other kiosks open. They eventually opened one beside it, and they eventually opened one on the upper tier. There were no kiosks open to close. Fans were annoyed, but there was, to be honest, it's before the game. People were in pretty good spirits. Yeah, people were getting a wee bit annoyed, but people were generally kind of, you know, bouncing. People were excited for the game. I think it's much more likely that people would kick off after, you know, when things weren't going our way. I find that hard to take because having been there and seen it, and I just know that that's not true. But anyway, we got there, and hopefully there's not, you know, not too many casualties. I saw that there was someone on a drip and a couple of people who obviously didn't make or didn't actually get to see the game because they took ill, but hopefully everyone has since recovered.
Well, yeah. Jim Sloan, channel member, saying what I think. This was actually criminal. Where's the health and safety for supporters? And as listen, you can't argue with that. And what Aline's saying about the statement that they've branded, which is just absolute nonsense, trying to cover their own backs. It's there's got to be an investigation into this, but unfortunately now the event's passed, so the investigation can only be to try and help future events, which should not again be held at this stadium.
No, I mean, the stadium, I don't know why it was chosen in the first place, but I haven't been at football in Spain before for other games. I know what the authorities are like there, and I know it's not the greatest place to go, especially dealing with the Spanish police, but it was shocking. I mean, I was gutted for not being there all week. I've been depressed, I've been down in the dumps because I wasn't going, and then when I read all this, the first thing my wife said to me was, I'm glad you didn't go, because the underlying health conditions, I don't know if I could have sat in the sun for 3 hours without any water. I'd have probably collapsed as well. So on that side of it, I'm happy I didn't go, even though I'm gutted I never went, because you don't want that to happen to anybody.
See, just to pick up on exactly what you said there, there were a couple of people who got inhalers chucked. I had mine in my pocket, and it was taken out and inspected. And I'm thinking, especially in that heat, you know, I really need my inhaler. We were a couple of miles walk away. I was starting to panic. There was a diabetic lady in front of us who was starting to really, really panic as well. And because of her diabetes, she was saying, you know, there were a couple of, later on that had like Coke and whatever, and she's like, I need water. And to be honest, they just didn't care. And that's the thing, is that you don't expect special treatment, but stuff like that, when people are taken ill, you think, surely there's just even a human side where you think, right, someone's keeling over, you're going to have to help them. And it was just, and as Wilf said, these aren't people that you mess with. And if you do kick up about it, the only thing that's going to happen is you're going to get chucked out, or potentially arrested, or a doing, or whatever it is. So you don't. But I thought the organisation had real potential for everything kicking off because of how bad it was and how unsafe it was.
Yeah, it's. I know you want to jump in there, Wilf, but just very quickly from my point of view, I was only in Seville on the Wednesday for the game. The other days I've been in Portugal. I've been to Spain quite a few times. The Spanish authorities are animals, absolute animals. They always have been. And see in Portugal, see the police, see the authorities, amazing. They want to help you. Well, the Spanish authorities just don't care. They're animals.
No, they don't. And you're right, they are. I mean, although having said that, I was in Malaga on Tuesday night, because I stayed in Malaga on Tuesday night, and Malaga was absolutely jumping. And the police were there. They were visible, but they just sat back and let it carry on. And from that point of view, they were great. I don't know what happened later on at night, because I went away about midnight, because I was driving through Seville in the morning. But as far as I know, there was nothing happened in Malaga. So the police in Malaga were fine. But the actual police, when it comes to being round about an organised event, they're just an absolute joke. But the thing that really gets me, on top of all this, we've got that statement from Seville that everybody's seen. I believe UEFA also made a statement saying that they'd made provisions to have water and juice and food and all that in the stadium, but they were overwhelmed by the demand. Now, they're the ones that told us to be there 3 hours early. We've known for 2 weeks what the temperature is going to be like, so there's no excuse for them not having the available water. They know the capacity of the stadium. There was no more than 42,000 folk going to be there, because that's all they can get at the stadium. So, you know, they've got a provision for that, and they're encouraging people to be there early. So all that's going to happen is, in the future, people are going to say, well, they're telling me to be there early. I'm not going in early because there'll be nothing for me there. Mm-hmm. Going by the experiences at the, you know, the Rangers-Frankfurt game, then there's going to be chaos outside stadium, and there's going to have a knock-on effect, you know, in years to come. And it's all at UEFA's door. It's all at UEFA's door. Their organisations are shambles. But the only thing they're interested in is money. UEFA, all they're interested in is making money.
UEFA couldn't win a piss up in a brewery. That's really honest. Good. And it's never, it's never going to change. It's never going to change. On to the game itself, Alain, we've had a few days now to, you know, chill, have a think about it. After the game, it's strange. I've never felt, I mean, I've seen us get beat off of Celtic, I've seen us lose cup finals, I've obviously seen us getting put out of Europe. It was probably the worst I've ever felt, I think, as a Rangers supporter after that game.
I can totally understand that. I don't know if I felt worse yesterday than I did after the game, because after the game I was pretty kind of stoic about it and just sort of looked back and thought, well, do you have a brilliant day? Of course I was disappointed, I was gutted, especially going ahead and you think this could be, you know, it could happen, and those 12 minutes were just up there with anything that you'll experience in football, just absolutely unbelievable. On the night, certainly, I just didn't think we turned up, to be honest. And that's maybe being harsh, but I didn't think we acquitted ourselves as well as we could. I thought the occasion got the better of us. In extra time, we did show a wee bit more. We played a wee bit more football, but I think that I was more accepting of it, you know, after the game, because I kind of thought I didn't think we did enough to win. It was yesterday then that it really got me, because I thought we didn't do enough to win, and why didn't we? Because we can play so much better than that. And I think that that's what everything that we spoke about before the game, saying don't do what happened in Manchester, you know, go and have a go, leave it all out there. I just think that we could have had a bit of a better go at it. That said, it's maybe slightly too early to look at it this way, but what an achievement. I couldn't fault the players. I didn't think that they acquitted themselves to the standards that they could, but still just incredible achievement. And we will look back with pride on it at the end of the day. It's a tough one to take, especially in the manner, and especially that penalty.
It's tough to take, but I just hope as a club we don't make a hospitality suite out of it, a DVD out of it, and name a wall after it. I hope as a club we don't accept mediocrity, as I know that a lot of other clubs do.
I would quite like a starring role in the play, the musical.
Well, so the play as well,
I'll put myself forward.
Yeah. I think, and listen, fair play to you. You managed to do the reaction after the game, which must have been so tough. I say unfortunately. Fortunately, I was driving back.
Martin, sorry. Can I just jump in there? I'm noticing in the comments that the supporter that the Elaine was talking about that collapsed in the behind the dugout is actually in the chat. Random madness.
All right.
Still in hospital there till Monday, so I hope he's all right and he gets home safely.
Oh, absolutely. Sorry, I never seen that. I hope everything is okay. And again, it just goes to show you when authorities don't care, stuff like this happens. It shouldn't have happened. It's atrocious. And I hope everything goes all right for you.
Speedy recovery.
Yeah, very much so. Very much so. What killed me, I think, was going 1-0 up. Because what I had done throughout the whole European run was, especially when it got to Dortmund, was right, we're not going to win. That's my mindset. We're not going to win. So then if we don't win, then I can take it. As soon as Aribo scored, and I've done laps, by the way, you want to see this fat guy running around this auditorium. I think in my head then went, oh my God, we're going to do it. And it killed me.
I'm still gutted about it. I was really confident leading up to the match, as you knew. I thought we were going to do it. I'd just like to say everybody in the chat, thanks for the other night. It was hard after the game, but most guys are on the chat just now were there. And thanks for the comments, because it was difficult, especially a lot of people supporting our team being on. No, but I thought the other night, I thought the occasion they get to, as Elaine says, but I didn't think either team played that well, to be fair. I've watched people take it back. I didn't think either team played that well. We just probably had the same amount of chances as they did. McGregor didn't have a lot of saves to make. Now I had the keeper right enough, but we could have played better. But you can pick the bones of the game all you want. It's not going to change the fact we didn't win. But I'm still proud of that team getting there. I'm still proud of what we've achieved, because if you had told me when we were drawing Borussia Dortmund all the months ago, we'll get to the final, I wouldn't have believed you. So I'm proud he's getting there. But I'm still gutted in a way, because I was that confident in myself we were going to lift that trophy. And like you said, when Aribo scored, I was even more confident. But it just wasn't to be.
I know, on the actual game itself, well, if we can, if you don't mind. I thought throughout the majority of the game, Frankfurt were the better team. I think they looked a more dangerous team. I don't want to point out individuals, but just purely focusing on the game itself, I thought Tav was poor. I don't think Tav had a great game. Well, Goldson just has to clear the ball.
Yeah, he does. I mean, that's obviously haven't seen any of it back, but I saw.
And I refuse to watch it back. I won't watch it.
So made a point when they're going, and I made a point of looking at the screen behind me because I was in the front bit of the top tier, so there's a screen right behind me. So I turned around to watch that, and then we've got to cut the cross out. Goldson's got to clear the ball. I lay no blame on Bassey. I don't think he's expecting it to come right through. Mm-hmm. For me, McGregor
has to bunny his toes, Wills, but he has to bunny his toes. If that's Barisic gets done like that, all week can get a claim.
It's a goal we've lost so often. And I mean, the ball's come along the 6-yard box. We love McGregor a bit, but who's our goalkeeper?
Yeah,
I mean, he's got to come out and anticipate Goldson missing it in case Goldson swipes at it and misses it. The goalkeeper's got to be there just in case. You know, and it was a terrible, terrible goal to lose, but it is a goal we've lost on so many other occasions. You know, I mean, I actually thought it was going to be all right when they had the chance before they scored, when the boy scooped it onto the roof of the net. I thought it's going to be all right because he should have scored that. I thought we're going to win this, you know. But for all the disappointment, and I'm still feeling gutted, I put that down to being really tired. The fact is that we saw our club take the lead in a European final. You know, but we've got to take some solace from that. Nobody can take that away from us. Okay, we didn't convert it into winning the trophy, but I mean the bounce in that stadium, that'll take some beating from that when that Aribo chance went in, because when he ran through on the keeper and the boy stumbled, my first thought was go down, because the boy would have gone off. It'd be a foul, the boy would have gone off, because the way that we go from that sort of position, that's normally straight at the keeper's legs. So my initial thought was, if he keeps going, he's going to hit the keeper with that and the chance is gone. But fair play to Joe, he stuck it in the net and the place just went, well, I mean, Aline, you were there, the place just went absolutely terrible. It was just...
It was like a total disbelief.
I'm surprised that nobody actually got seriously hurt, because that stadium was so steep. You know what I mean? I'm surprised that nobody came hurtling down the stairs or down the stands, and it was absolute bedlam.
It was a total disbelief. And actually, what I was saying about those 12 minutes, you know what a reaction is like to a big goal? Everyone loses it. It was after that. It was those moments of everyone looking around going, what's happening? You know, are we? And that's an that's a feeling, that's an experience that if you could bottle, that'll live with me forever. And of course... It's massively disappointing. You know, of course it's massively disappointing in the way it was. But the one thing that I would say, as much as I was critical of the team, just thinking that we didn't do ourselves justice, I would agree with Kerr. I don't think Frankfurt played that well, but I think they nullified us fairly well. They sort of snuffed Tav out, they snuffed Kent out. Our two big threats really didn't get going much, and you have to give them credit for the way they set up as well. I saw someone saying, you know, we've been, you know, they respected us at that level, which is true. They did, and they set up well. It worked. We were, I felt our midfield kind of dropped out it quite a bit, and we were sort of resorting to the long diagonals, which sometimes land. But half the time, if they did land, Kent had two people on him and was going nowhere. And half the time, they were right over and out. And it was, it was a frustrating, especially the first half, frustrating game.
Yeah. And look, I don't want to sit here and pull apart individual players and whatever, because I don't think it's fair. Normally, look, normal match reactions or whatever we do, we would try and go through the team individually and whatever, but look, it was a massive European game. We failed at the final hurdle, care. But, you know, this season, this team have took us on a journey that none of us would have dreamt of in a million years, haven't
they? They have, yeah. I mean, we didn't expect to be in the European final, especially after how we started European campaign this season, at beating Malone and losing the games in the Europa League when we went through to Europa League. We didn't expect to be here. Like I said, even when we got Dortmund, we all thought Dortmund were going to beat us. So getting to the final, you think we're there, but when you look, you get to the final, you want to win it, and that is a disappointing thing. We never just got over that final wee bit to get the trophy. The thing that was sticking my throat for this season, Martin, and I know I've told you many times, it's a league. The 12-point swing is just sticking in my throat. I don't think it'll go away till next season. It's there and it's no moving, and I think we need to win Saturday. I think if we don't win on Saturday, there could be a lot of...
We'll certainly come to that discussion. But we'll certainly come to that, believe me. Just finally on the Europa League, well, to have... And again, I did say I don't think you played that well in the final, but there was a few. But to have your right back as the top goal scorer in the team of the tournament was probably one of the man of the match in most games to have an ear, regardless of how you played in the final. Captained us fantastically throughout it and was superb.
Oh, he's had a fantastic campaign. I mean, the whole team have had a fantastic campaign. I mean, we got to Manchester in 2008. Drawn with everybody at home and nicking goals and going on away goals and going through and penalties and all that sort of stuff. Up till the game on Wednesday, the final against Frankfurt, we outscored every team we were up against in the knockout stages. We didn't rely on, we didn't rely on penalty kicks. Okay, away goals was gone. We didn't rely on taking anybody penalties. We outscored Borussia Dortmund. We outscored Leipzig. We outscored Red Star Belgrade. Outscored all these teams. We then went to a final against Frankfurt. And yeah, we didn't play to our capacity, but neither did they. I mean, you've got to remember, that was a 9-track Frankfurt team that won 3-0 in Barcelona, mm-hmm. that went to West Ham and won. You know, they couldn't beat us over 120 minutes. They had to beat us on penalties, and to be fair, their penalties were a different class.
Yeah.
And every single one of their five penalties was different class. So were four of ours, to be fair. And, I mean, just on 9-track Frankfurt, having experienced what I experienced with a few of the supporters in Malmo on Tuesday, in Malaga on Tuesday, and the ones I met in Sevilla Wednesday, and there was quite a lot of them that I came across, because when they did their fan march to the stadium, they marched past a pub that we were in, and they were all shaking hands and fist pumping, and you know, all the best of luck, and may the best team win, all that stuff. To me, they're a proper football team, and I know they've got their idiots that ran them all on Tuesday night and stuff like that, but the majority of the fans are proper football fans. They're a proper football club. And to me, if you're going to lose a European final, lose it to a team that are like that. I mean, they showed their class today.
Yeah.
When they put out a tweet saying it was just like 62 years ago when they hammered us over two legs in a semi-final, and what a classy club, and wishing us good luck for tomorrow. They're a classy outfit, you know. The supporters seem genuine football fans, which is what you need, which is what you want. They're not prima donnas. I think they went into that the same as we did. They haven't had European success since 1980. You know, they were desperate to win a European trophy. And they knew they'd need to work for it. And we made them work for it. And I just think, having experienced them, they're just a classy side. I wish we'd beat them. We didn't beat them. I think, like Elaine said, they were better than us on the day, but there wasn't much in it. You know, it's all ifs and buts and maybes, if we'd cut out the cross, if we'd done this, if we'd done that. But there's teams you could lose a final to, I think.
Yeah, probably didn't. And I can't remember what you put on Twitter, Elaine. Frankfurt done that. Was it annoyingly classy? That was it.
only because it is. Do you know? I'd love to kind of hate them and say, you know, this, that, and the other, and it was. Do you know? It was a nice tweet. It is, as Will says, they're a good football and. Club and fans, and you know, we, as I've already said, we had no issues with them all day. It was a good laugh. It was I didn't go to the fan zone. I was kind of in central Seville, so it was a good mix, and there was no hassle at all. Good laugh with everyone. It's annoying because I can't even hate them, even though I was gutted. But no, fair play to them. And you know, maybe we'll get our chance again.
Can we also give a bit of a shout out to all the Rangers fans that went over there? All we heard, all certain parts of the Scottish media were desperate and had all their pages and that typed up.
Before
we got there, they had everything typed up. They were desperate for it. Not a single arrest, and this is in Spain. We've already discussed the Spanish police. And even when I was in Spain, they were desperate for something to happen. It didn't. The Rangers fans went over there. What was it, 160,000, 170,000? Whatever the final number was. Impeccable behaviour. Of course, you're going to get scuffles. You're going to get people who are drunk, sick here, whatever there. But in the main, you know, 160 minimum thousand Rangers supporters and not a single arrest. They were fantastic.
They were, and I think hats off to them, but it's not, it's, we know what Rangers fans like because we go to games, Wolf travels everywhere, Elaine travels, we know you get good guys and bad guys depending where you go in the world, but the Rangers fans are a family and there's usually a lot of good banter between, doesn't matter for a lot of is a small amount of is, but the media in Scotland were desperate, and I mean desperate for something to happen, because like you said, they had the templates ready, they had the social media ready just to press send, and it didn't happen, and they probably feel more gutted about that than they do about anything else. But no, the fans are superb, especially hearing what you went through from Elaine and from Wolf and other people. That was awful. And yeah, I know a lot of people say the fans weren't singing, atmosphere was poor, but if you're sitting in that condition with that heat, not getting any water, medication taken off you, stuff like that, listen, I wouldn't be singing either. I'm telling you that just now, I'd be looking for help. So hats off to everybody that went there. Everybody appreciates you for being there and seeing the game, but no, I'm just really gutted for what everybody's went through, and I feel really sorry for folk that are still there.
Yeah.
See just what you were saying about the people having their coats ready and everything. I kind of felt for the club a bit because they can't do right for doing wrong. You know, they can't get it right, because I did find the whole, let's, you know, bring out all these people who have played for us and tell us to behave. And I found that quite patronising, because at the end of the day, there is going to be an element who travel with any club where there's maybe a bit of potential. If someone's going to kick off, just because Richard Goff told you not to, you're not going to go, oh, right, well, I better not do that. And especially, I did find it a bit embarrassing. You know, we're wheeling out, right? It was a 4 or 5 message and it kept coming. And I found it a bit patronising. But the club were lambasted last year for not doing enough. They didn't do enough. And actually, the club, as much as we travel and represent the club can't legislate for having 100,000 fans that travel. They cannot be in charge of us all. What can the club actually do? And I thought, well, fair play. I wasn't a massive fan, but I understood why they put out those messages, because they were trying to be seen to be doing something. And yet they were still then subject to ridicule, saying, oh, well, they obviously don't trust the fans. So which one is it? You know, because they can't, you know, they clearly can't get it right. I just think fair play, because the people who are now, are the people who were ridiculing the statements were the first people, or were the people who had been first to have been right on it, had there been any trouble. And as you say, probably had their articles ready, or primed ready to go. So, no, I kind of felt the club were in a wee bit of an awkward situation there, and they obviously did the best that they could.
I think it was more people arrested in Glasgow last weekend than there was in the whole of Hull. Yeah. And it wasn't as warm, and there was only one set of fans out there, so that kind of tells us its own story.
Rangers will never be able to do right for doing wrong. That's always going to be the case. But look, we'll move on for that. I don't know if this is positive, but before I come to that, everybody watching, thank you so much for tuning in. Please do like and subscribe if you're watching on YouTube. Give us a comment and I will try and read them out. The comments are flying in. If you're watching on Twitter, give us a like and a retweet. And you can also, of course, comment on Twitter as well. Because we're actually running out of pods now. We're running out of shows because we're coming to the end of the season. And I think I'm giving everybody a break. So, you know, get watching while you can. Right, Wolf, I don't know if this is positive or negative. Calvin Bassey, I thought was outstanding in the final. Had that one moment where he had a bit of a slip, but hey, he got up and he recovered, and I thought he was outstanding. I think he's been outstanding for months now, whether he's played as centre-back or left-back. And now we're hearing about all sorts of bids coming in. We had a ridiculous, was it €3.5 million? I don't know where they get the euros from Fulham. But I do get the feeling that he's going to be wanted by some top clubs.
Yeah, there's going to be clubs coming in for him, and It's only right that there's speculation about him, because he is. I mean, he was the best for me. He was the best player on that park on Wednesday night for both sides by a country mile. He was fabulous, apart from that one slip which he made up for.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been playing really well for weeks. I mean, and he learns really quickly. I mean, if you go back to that one in the Old Firm game when he went to see how that Celtic player was, and he was told get away from him. And the next Old Firm game, he just walked past and looked at them with the statement of a line on the ground. So he learns very, very quickly. You know, he is only 22 years old, which apparently is too old to be considered for a young player here in Scotland. But okay, we'll give him that. If we want our much-loaded transfer policy to work, we're going to have guys like him getting interest shown in them from other clubs, coming in with big bids. The trick we're going to have to do is making sure we optimize the situation and sell them when they're at the peak of their powers, which I don't think Calvin Bassey is at the moment. I mean, he's had a good season, but he's still learning, and hopefully he's sensible enough to realize what we've done for him as a club. You know, we basically took him out of Leicester under 23s. He's now playing in European finals. Right, he's an international football player now, because of what he's done for us. That doesn't mean he owes us anything, but if he stays with Rangers for even another season and carries on the way he's going, I believe that 3.5 million bid suddenly became 9 million, which is a bit of a jump.
That tells you all you need to know.
But if he keeps going the way he's going, that 9 million becomes 19 or 20 million in a year's time. And if he's getting sold for that sort of money, which we would need to sell him for, if that sort of bid came in, they have to pay him as a 19, 20 million pound player. You can't say, well, tell you what, we'll pay 20 million pound for me, you're getting £3,000 a week. You can't do that. I mean, that would be him made. So, for our business model to work, we need to be selling guys like Calvin Bassey within the peak of the powers. Right now, he isn't. So hopefully he can see that and stick around, because he won't. If he went to like a Fulham who are just coming into the Premiership, right, he wouldn't play every week for them. Because at that level, they just wouldn't play him every week, because he's only young and he's still learning. He'll play every week for us as long as he's fit. Particularly because I expect Barisic to leave in the summer. You know, so that left back role will be his. It'll be nailed. It's his, and it's every week. And he's playing high profile games, hopefully Champions League games if all goes well in the qualifiers. And the world's his lobster after that.
Well, that's the thing. Kerr, he's a young boy who's just been named man of the match in a European final. I mean, even if you go back to his performances against Dortmund, his performances in the league, he's been sensational. And there was somebody, and I'm not going to name them, there was somebody who wasn't quite sure.
I was actually a couple of ways, and I was one of them.
Oh, were you one of them? I wasn't going to mention any names.
I mean, how many times have I come out and said, he's proved me wrong, but you keep bringing up Martin. It's a bit, you keep saying it's toasty, you know what I mean?
I start,
Martin.
It's so, so boring. But he is somebody, Kerr, who, I mean, we've heard reports from, I think, is it Keenan Maguire that does the Prize of Football, that Rangers have made enough to be self-sustaining now. They're not in the same position, but they have to sell X amount of players. Obviously, of course, you need to sell players. You need to still keep bringing money in. But if it gives you the ability to be able to keep players that you want to keep, and at the age that Bassey's at, like Wolf's saying, he's only going to get better. He's only going to become more valuable. He's somebody that we could look to build a team around.
He hasn't, to be fair, he's still got 2 years left, if I've read it right. So he's not one we're going to let go. But we'll have too many players leaving in the summer. Either leaving because they're leaving for being out of a contract, leaving because they're finishing up, or leaving because they've only got a year left in a contract and we're going to have to sell them because you don't want players to constantly run their contracts down. But no, Bassey will not leave. He should be offered a new deal. But all this stuff, Rangers now, players coming in, players coming out, this is all down to Ross Wilson. And to be fair, you probably know my opinion on Ross Wilson. I don't trust him as far as I could throw him to get this right. I'm sorry, but I think he screwed up January, and I think that's how in position we're in with the league. But that's just my opinion.
Well, fair enough. Elaine, just quickly on Bassey, what do you think is his best position, centre-back or left-back?
Left-back. Only because, I think he's an asset going forward. His physicality, I think initially his crossing wasn't this, you know, wasn't on a par with Barisic, but I think more, I don't know. Yeah, I'm going to say left, just because I like him going forward. I think it, physically going forward, he can give us a lot, and he can certainly, you know, he's crossing the ball better. But that said, he's made centre half his own, and even when he, you know, he's put, you know, he's put Balogun out of the team. I know Balogun's not always been fit. If Hollander coming back, I know he got crocked pretty quickly again, but I don't think either of them would have displaced them. So he's made that position his own. From looking towards next year, I would suggest that Barisic goes, and therefore he gets moved to left back, because at the moment we do have centre half cover. But as long as we keep him, that was another thing that I tweeted today, just saying he's the one player. I'm kind of resigned to probably Alfie leaving. I'm resigned to likelihood of Kent maybe Aribo. He's the one player that I think we could build a team around. He's got so much potential. If we get it right, he could be a record fee. He's the one that I just don't want us to lose.
Yeah, and for everybody asking, I think the noise is Molly in the background.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
No, it's all right. It's just that people are asking about what the noise is, and I just want to confirm it's not me, even though I'm sitting in a roasting hot. But it is indeed. It's Molly. There you go.
She was disagreeing with me.
Yeah, she doesn't. She doesn't look too happy.
She likes him at centre half.
Well, somebody who is not going to be here next season, Gio, pretty much. And I haven't actually seen the press conference. I've just seen what Heart and Hand put on Twitter. But somebody who's not going to be here next season is Conor Goldson. I don't think it's a surprise, really. If anything was going to be sorted with Conor, it probably would have been sorted now. Tough guy to replace. You know, he doesn't miss many games. He's been solid. Of course, he's made mistakes, but every player does. And he most certainly goes with my best wishes. I think he's been a fantastic servant to the club.
Yeah, can't disagree with any of that. I mean, he certainly goes with my best wishes, and you can't blame him for wanting to go back and give English football a crack, because he, you know, he had his heart problems before he came here, so he hasn't really had a career down there. He will be really, really hard to replace, because he's only missed a handful of games in the time he's been in, the 4 years he's been here, he's missed about half a dozen games. So it'll be impossible to replace with one player, because you won't get a player that is as robust as that, particularly not in that position. It's a shame he's going for nothing, but he's run his contract out. That's fine. That's okay. The most surprising thing for me is that there's been no speculation about where he's going. Nobody's announced him signing a pre-contract anywhere. I say I'm very, very surprised at that. I mean, does that mean that he has been in negotiations with teams and he's kept it very quiet? I wouldn't believe for a minute that he doesn't have something on the table. You know. He hasn't gotten on the table and changed with Rangers, then that's fine. But I would be very, very surprised. But the manager didn't say he was definitely away. He said it's looking very likely that he'll be leaving. Or highly unlikely that he'll sign, I think's the way he put it.
Yeah. It's pretty much he's away, Wolf, let's be honest.
I've been resigned to the fact for months that he's going to leave, because if he wasn't, he would have signed, I think. And he's been looking quite emotional after his last couple of games. You know, I mean, I think if tomorrow goes the way tomorrow's supposed to go, I think he'll probably be more of a shambling wreck than I will be at the end of the game. You know, because he does seem to really care about the club, but he's obviously got to look after himself and his family as well. And there's now, he's been four years up here. That's a long time to be somewhere that's strange to you, somewhere that's not home. I mean, I believe his wife struggled to settle in Scotland, which is one of the reasons he wants to go. I don't know how true that is, but that's what I've heard that from.
That was going to be my next question, Kieran. I'll just send that to you now, because I'm very, very conscious that we've been on for 53 minutes. So, and we've still got the Scottish Cup final to go. But why do you guys think he's not committed to us or anyone else? The answer for me, Kieran, is I don't know. So I've never spoken to Goldson, I've never met him. But if you have a guess at why he's not committed, is it like what Will said there, family, maybe another crack at the EPL?
I've heard a few different things. I'm not saying it's the truth. I've just heard a few different things from various people. Some say his family aren't settled up here. They're from Midlands area, so his wife's constantly back down there. If that's the case, any day it's his job. It's not a, he's not a fan. It's his job playing for Rangers. So if she's not happy, you go where your family's happy. I would do it myself. We all probably would. But also heard that he wanted to stay, but he never got offered the contract he wanted. And to be honest with you, if I wanted to stay somewhere and it took him 12 months to give me a contract I wanted, I don't know if I would have signed it either. Because in the day, I'm looking after myself and my family, I'm looking after the club. And that's the way I look at it. Football players, it's a job. It's no, I'm not playing for Rangers because they're Rangers fans. I'm playing for Rangers because that's where they are just now. But we all know if they get more money somewhere else, they usually take it because, yeah, they want to win stuff, but they could get injured next season. If they get, they've signed a 3-year contract with someone being 40, 50, 60 grand a week. They're happy with that. So I've heard a few things, but I don't know if any of them's true, but I'm gutted he's leaving, to be fair. I know a lot of people think he can be hit and miss at times, but I agree with Wolf. The amount of games he gives you over the four-year period, I mean, he's played more games than only one season, and Herlander's played in two seasons or three seasons. It's and I don't think Herlander and Suter are the two guys to fill Connor's boots. I personally don't, and that's why I see Bass as a centre-half. He man a match or night playing centre-half. I think he's going to grow in that position. He's strong, he's physical, he's quick. He's starting to read the game better. His distribution still lets him down, but that's going to get better. But I think he likes the rough and tumble of being at centre-back because he's involved in a lot. So that's how I think if he does go anywhere, Bassey stays at Rangers, that's where I think he'll play. But I'm going to miss Connor. Doesn't matter where he goes to, he gets my best wishes anyway.
100%. It's been a colossal signing for us. Elaine, we have a Scottish Cup final tomorrow. Difficult to get up for it, I suppose. It'll be one of those when the game kicks off that might kick back in. But also confirmed today that John McLaughlin will start.
Yep.
So very quickly, and I mean very quickly, and not just yes or no, don't be a smart ass, right? Has Alan McGregor played his last game for Rangers?
With the, and I mean this with the greatest respect, I hope so. Because if we give him another contract, that's not based in footballing. There's no room for sentiment. He's been a fantastic servant to the club. It would have been a fabulous way to sign off a great career. But that should be it now. That should be it. He's not the sort of person who's going to go and sit on the bench. He's not a personality that's going to be a number two. And I think it's probably time to say thank you. And that's it.
Yeah, I don't want to hang on this too long, Wolf, because no doubt it's something that we'll speak about in the kind of post-season review, which will be the last podcast of the season, the last show of the season, and we'll run through everything. But just very quickly, figure on Alan McGregor, is that him? Is that his time up?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I wasn't at all surprised to hear that from the manager today that John McLaughlin was in goal. Why would you play a cup keeper in the semi-final against Celtic and not play him in the final against Hearts? So that would have made no sense to me at all. So I'm not surprised. I think that the Europa League final will have been Alan McGregor's last game for us. As Elaine says, with the greatest respect to the man, it really should be. Because even if he wants to keep playing, he should just be told, right, Alan, great, go carry on your career somewhere else, because it isn't here. Because we need to move past him. I don't think John McLaughlin signed a new contract without being told, look, you're going to get number one for at least a year. Because even if they bring a keeper in, the keeper's going to need to settle in. So I fully expect John McLaughlin to be number one next year. Alan McGregor's been a fabulous servant. I just wish 2012 hadn't happened the way it had happened, because he might have been here for 20 years. We could be looking at a second testimonial for him, and he even deserved it because he's that good a keeper. But yeah, to answer your question, in short, yes, he's played his last game for the club.
it's something that we'll definitely revisit towards the end of the season. But I want to kind of jump into the... I knew this would run over an hour. I knew it. I says I'm out in the blistering heat. This is going to last over an hour. I knew
And you hate the heat?
I despise the heat.
Was he only? He never mentioned it.
Do you know he's still in Portugal?
I heard that.
I thought he was back home.
No. I want to be home. How difficult, Kerr, is it going to be, number one, for Gio to pick a team tomorrow, considering, obviously, the cup final that's just been, and number two, the players to kind of motivate themselves? Or do we as fans get too into the, because we are so down, we expect the players to be just as down? How difficult is that going to be for both Gio and the players?
I don't think it's going to be difficult at all, Martin, to be fair. Bonus with you, I think Gio will probably know roughly his team. He'll know the boys that can play the other night, can play again. There will be a few missing. I might see Stephen Davis starting. Alec Lowry, for me, should start as well. Obviously, John McLaughlin starting. The players were picking themselves up for the other night, the ones that do play, because as a footballer, when you get beat, the first thing you want to do is go back out and play. So you can not rectify the loss, but get another one under your belt, so you try and forget a wee bit about the last game. But it's a cup final, so if you kind of motivate yourself for the last game of the season, which is a Scottish Cup final, then you shouldn't be in the starting 11. And Martin disappeared.
I think as well, given the fact that the heat, the conditions, the fact it went to extra time, we need to freshen it up. So there will be some people who started on Wednesday who will feature, but I wouldn't be surprised if there's, you know, a good few changes. And that in itself, hopefully, brings a wee bit more to the team as well, and kind of freshens things up for them.
Yeah, I think personally the players have to be honest with themselves and with the manager, and if they're, you know, if Wednesday's really affecting them physically, mentally, whatever, they have to be honest and say, look, I really can't start this game because, you know, it's taking everything out of me or whatever it is. They have to be honest about it.
Yeah.
For me, you know, rather than just say, yeah, I'm good to go and then break down after 10 minutes, all that sort of stuff, you know. The thing that concerns me is the fitness of Ramsey and Roof.
You know, I don't think any two of them should play.
No, well, neither do I. I mean, I'm of the opinion that if either of the two of them were even 80% fit, they'd have played at least a half of the extra time Wednesday night. The fact they both only came out to take a penalty tells me that they weren't fit at all. I mean, as soon as Ramsey came off the bench, I said, it's going to penalties and he'll miss. Because, yeah, I just got a feeling. You know, you bring people off the bench for that purpose.
Usually miss.
So if he's not fit enough to start the game tomorrow, neither of the two of them should be anywhere near it, I don't think.
No, I agree with
you. Right, so obviously my laptop was running out of battery because I didn't have it plugged in because I forgot to plug it in. And now the Wi-Fi is starting to play up as well. So I'll try and make this as brief as possible. I've got no idea what you just spoke about for 2 minutes. So if this question's already been asked or spoke about, then I do apologise. I'm not in darkness. It's just the sun's hitting the camera, so I apologise. Elaine, what does Gio do in terms of...
He changes it.
Team selection. Yeah, yeah. Is that already been asked?
we were basically just saying, yeah, it was... I think he has to change it because of the conditions, because of the heat, because of the fact that the extra time, yeah, changes it. I was saying on Wednesday, and I know Martin's a bit of a cheerleader for Lowry, but I would have thought that I thought Lowry could have done a job, and it's a huge game to bring him on, but I would have maybe chucked him in. So I think tomorrow's a game for Lowry, but I think he'll change it quite a bit.
How do you see the game going, Kerr? Is it going to be a case of Elaine's had to mute because Molly's...
At least I'm doing better than him.
Yeah.
And my internet is gone.
Yeah.
Am I back
yep,
in the room?
You're back, yep. You're back. Yeah, so exactly. Just quick as you can, Martin, before your internet goes all together.
How do you see Gio approaching the game?
He'll probably pick a team that he's going to think he's going to win the game. Obviously, he's manager of Rangers. That's what he's going to be doing. But to be honest with you, I think we'll win.
Tactics wise.
I think we'll just play the usual way we play. I think we've actually... I don't know about Wolf. Wolf's probably maybe a bit more about Hearts than myself. I've only seen him play a few times this season. It's not a place I really go to for some reason. But they're a decent side. They play a certain way. They've got a few decent players. But I think if Rangers turn up, we should beat them. And I'm not being disrespectful to Hearts, but I think we should beat them. They've got a couple up the boys. Sam's just decent up front. We know what Barry Mackay can do. At the back, they're okay. Hearts, I don't think they're as great as everybody makes them out to be. Obviously, Craig Gordon's probably the best keeper in the league, to be fair. But I think we will win. I think it will be close, but I think we will win.
Well, I am going to be disrespectful to Hearts, and I can do that because I'm not watching. I think Hearts have been on the beach for about 3 or 4 weeks. They haven't won in the last four games. I think they've been a draw and three defeats.
So we battered them with the B team, Will.
Yep, exactly that as well. They're going to find it hard to lift themselves up. I think that they're going to come at us because we think they're going to be tired. They're just going to come flying out the traps at us, I think. So we just need to make sure we don't lose an early goal. The boy Sims up front's a decent player. He'll score goals. They've not really got a lot at the back. Barry Mackay. Well done, Molly. Barry Mackay tends to go missing in the big games. So I don't think he'll be that much of a threat, to be honest. He's quite, you know, should be able to snuff him out, hopefully. And I hope that doesn't go back and bite me in the arse. if we turn up and play like we should, it doesn't matter what team we put out, we'll beat them because we've got better players than Hearts. Hearts are a decent side tactically. I don't think they're, I really don't like their manager at all. I don't know why, I just don't like him. I don't think he's a good coach, but I think tactically he's got something about him. And as long as we're up for it, I think we'll beat them. I don't agree with Ken. I don't think it'll be close. I think we'll beat them easy.
I hope you're right, Wolf.
Listen, beat them easy, right? And I don't know whether to ask Elaine or ask Molly. what we do have to remember, though, as Elaine, is that look, if Rangers show up and we play the way we can play, of course we win. But if we don't go in with a 100% intensity, if we are off it, listen, they finished third in the league. They're a good side. They're the third.
And the thing is, this is a cup final. You know, it's a cup final. It's a one-off game. They'll be up for it. How many chances have, you know, the Hearts get at getting a trophy?
It's the third cup final in 4 years.
No. And more than others. But the thing is, for any team in Scotland, or for any team at all, you know, a cup final, your players are up for it, and they'll see us as a bit of a wounded animal. They will have a go, absolutely. I think it would be the most Rangers thing to beat them at Tynecastle with the kids and not show up tomorrow. And that's my fear. I had a real worry that we would win both finals or lose both. I had a gut feeling that would be the way it would go because I just think mentally trying to get them back up. I know it's going to be a changed team. That was always my worry. I don't think it will be as easy as it maybe should be, and I don't think it is easy as people think it's going to be tomorrow. I hope I'm wrong. I hope we're up for it. I hope we just go and kind of wrong or right and or right or wrong. Sorry, but. Yeah, I kind of think it might be a wee bit more difficult than people think.
I'm apologising. I'm having to move about the balcony now to try and get a Wi-Fi.
the balcony.
The veranda, the balcony, whatever. Kerr, if we go on and win tomorrow, which of course we hope and we should, is that a successful season?
No, because the league still sticks in my throat. That's just me. The league, I can't forgive them for throwing away the league. I know when Joe came in, there's a transition period between Gerard leaving, him coming in, but it's just a massive swing. Yeah, Celtic have been consistent since probably December, January time, but I don't know, they finished above us, and me saying this probably doesn't sound great, but I still think we're a better side than them, even though they finished above us in the league. I do.
It's really difficult, Wolf, to try and make a case for it to be a successful season just winning the Scottish Cup. Obviously, and I've just muted Wolf by accident. Obviously, if we don't win the Scottish Cup, it's a disastrous season. But is there any case to be made to get into a European final and winning a Scottish Cup as success? No?
Nope. Success at Rangers is waving big, shiny things. And We've won one shiny thing since we came back up, and this will be the second one. And it's not success. It's an absolute disaster if we don't win it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, if we don't win it, yeah.
It's not a successful season. Just get the game done tomorrow. Get it won. Let's go on holiday. Come back and go for it again, and let's not throw the league away. Because I agree with you, we are 100% much better team than they are. 100% we're a better team than them. But we just, too many stupid drop points, too many daft draws with the jobbers. That's what cost us. Without any question. I mean, we don't have those stupid draws with two draws with Aberdeen, two draws with Motherwell, throwing points away against Ross County and Hearts. Wouldn't have mattered if we'd lost four times to them, we'd still have won the league.
Yeah, that was a Ross County one that stuck in my throat.
Oh, no, the Hearts one in September still sticks in my throat. But.
Hey, let's leave this on a positive. I normally ask everybody in the comments, right, but I'm going to wrap it up. But we'll be back tomorrow at 2:15 for the build-up. That'll be on for half an hour, and that'll give you all 15 minutes to get away and get set up for the game. And then, of course, we'll have the reaction as well shortly after the game. If Rangers win, when Rangers win, the reaction will be after the trophy lift, of course. But predictions just from the guys, Elaine, Kerr and Wolf, and I'll get all your predictions tomorrow in the build-up because I'm hoping you'll all come back for that. Elaine, your predictions for tomorrow's Scottish Cup final and first goal scorer, please.
I'll be positive. 2-1, Lowry. We're gonna start him.
Yes, I will. I'm fed up doing the let's predict the starting lineup because we never get it right. Kerr, your prediction. Hold on, unmute you, Kerr. There
my
we go.
My prediction is 3-1, and Ryan Kent's first goal.
Ryan Kent, that would be a turn up for the books, Wolf.
I was going to break with tradition and say the same scoreline as Kerr just has, but only because I bumped into a Rangers legend on Wednesday in Seville and asked him what the score was going to be on Wednesday night, and he told me 3-1, which was what became my prediction for Wednesday. So that was going to be my prediction for today. But sorry, Mr. Parlay, I'm not going to go with it. So he also said it would be a Parlay hat-trick, so I didn't quite think that was going to happen.
No, sorry,
it was me that said it was going to be a Parlay hat-trick.
You should tell him to bring his boots. There's still a place to play for the Lackner Centre forward.
I did actually ask him if he had his boots with him, to be fair, to which his son Hartley laughed at. But no, my prediction for the game tomorrow, having said we're going to win easy, is 3-0 to Rangers, and the first goal scorer will be Alex Lowry.
Any chance it goes to penalties?
Absolutely none.
No, none.
Just like
no, I don't think we get to penalties, never mind the team.
No. If it does, I'm leaving.
Right, okay. Well, listen, Elaine, Kerr, Wolf, guys, as ever, thank you so much for coming on. Thank you to everybody watching. Please like, subscribe, share, and all that good stuff. And like I say, we'll be back tomorrow at 2:15 for all the build-up to the game. By that time, obviously, we know the lineup. We can go into it a bit more detail. So, yeah, thanks for tuning in, and we'll hopefully see you all tomorrow.
Sports Social Podcast Network. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.